Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. What's up, everybody? This is Ryan Hodge. Like I said in the intro, this is me, man. And we back. It's 2022. Another year before us. Another time to be great. Hey, time to make mistakes and learn from them. It's not always about making the right decisions. Sometimes we make the wrong ones. But either way, make the wrong decision, correct our mistakes, be better than we were yesterday, like I said. You know how we do on this show. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We got a good show for us today, man. We're going to be talking about mental health. And for anybody out there who's not familiar with what mental health is, you know, we always give a definition that we're going to live by for the basis and the duration of the show. So real quick, what is mental health? You know, it's a term we hear a lot of times in a lot of different venues and places. And we're going to just give a simple definition like we do. So mental health, real simple. Mental health is a person's condition with regard to their psychological and emotional well-being. So in layman's terms, we're just talking about how you feel about yourself, how you carry yourself. Even things like how you treat others tie into your mental health. So it's basically anything that affects you throughout the day, how it affects you. And certain times, certain things should affect you one way, and sometimes things shouldn't affect you another way. So your mental health ties into how you deal with different things that come across your path each day you walk. So again, mental health is basically just the way you deal with the things that are before you, how you feel about yourself, your situation in life, how you feel about others. And depending on if you have good mental health or bad mental health, it definitely can flip over into other areas of your life and cause you harm, depending on if it's a negative thing, or if you have good mental health, proper mental health, it may help you flourish. So again, we're going to talk some more about what mental health is and who it's affecting and how it's affecting people. So give us a minute. We're going to chop it up. We're going to actually have a guest on the show today. We're going to start with it. We're going to start with me like normal, but we're going to start with a guest in a little bit. And we're going to just chop it up about mental health and what some things to look out for, triggers, all that sort of stuff. So give us a minute. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge, and we'll be right back. Everybody, we back. We're here. It's me. It's Ryan Hodge. So before the break, like I said, I gave a quick definition of what we're talking about today, mental health, being able to cope with different things. So one of the things we're talking about mental health, you know, a lot of people, when they're having mental health issues, they respond negatively to situations that don't require certain reactions. So I give an example of what I'm saying. Let's say you're somebody, you're chilling or whatever, you're driving down the street. You caught a flat tire. Now, we know when you're driving and things like that, a flat tire may be something that you endure throughout the course of your life driving the car. So a normal response would be, you know, you may be frustrated like, man, why do I got a flat tire? But other than that, it shouldn't be too big of a deal. So pull over, get the jack out the car, you know, do your thing, change the tire. If that's not something you do, a simple response or adequate response would be to call AAA. You know, some sort of service to come fix the flat tire for you or jack the car up and change the tire. So, you know, when you have proper mental health, all I'm saying is that things that happen in life, you respond to appropriately. It's never too far up or too far down. That's one good sign of mental health. Other things, you know, when, you know, life throws you stressors, Sometimes people overreact to stresses and they act out wildly, violently, anything like that. That might be a sign that you don't have adequate mental health, because you shouldn't be overreacting to anything that happens, you know, especially if it's not traumatic. But something simple that we expect to happen in day-to-day life, you know, we should be responding appropriately and adequately, and something that suits the level of whatever you're enduring. So keep that in mind. If you're one of those people who find yourself always overreacting and causing more harm to the situation, you may be a person who's suffering some mental health issues, and it may be worth getting checked out. Additionally, I don't want anybody listening to this podcast to say, well, you know, I'm suffering from mental illness issues and I'm alone. I don't think that, because the numbers actually say that something like 21% of Americans, U.S. adults, are suffering from some sort of mental health illness. You know, they're suffering from mental illness. So don't think you're alone. You know, that's more than 50 million Americans who are potentially suffering from the same issues you have or other issues that are related to mental illness. So, again, don't think you're alone. Don't think getting help is far away, because help is near. And there's a lot of people out here with clinics and people with organizations that are trained in helping people get over these illnesses that they have. So you're not alone. Don't worry. Help is on the way. You can seek help, and help will be afforded to you. So don't run from it. Run to it. Run to the help. Actually, last year or the year before, when the pandemic hit, I did a series, a mental health series. It's a video series. It's like a 5-part series where there's a guy, his name is Jonathan, and he's a black male, and oftentimes black males, black people in particular, they don't often seek help. But so I created the series, and I put it on social media. It was on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And the reason why I created the series, it just was a way to show people that getting help for your issues it's not a taboo. It's not frowned upon. And I hope somebody who saw the video is still on social media. I hope somebody who saw the video sought help. But either way, the whole purpose was to say, I have to identify that I have a problem and then go seek help. And then throughout the series, like I said, it's a 4-part series, 5-part series. Throughout the series, the main character, Jonathan, he's sitting down with a therapist, and she's helping him work through his issues. She's giving him strategies that will help him overcome whatever he has going on. And the way I did the video, or the series, I should say, at the end of the series, he ends up having a positive outcome. He learns some of his triggers, what his faults are, what's bothering him, and what's stemming from. And then he's able to come to terms with what his problems are, what caused them, and he's able to get past them. So when the series ends, he's in a better place, still going to seek help because he's not healed fully, but he's on the path to redemption and getting himself back on the right track. So just try to put some info out there on a visual standpoint, because a lot of times, you know, it's just sometimes you need to see something in front of you, and it may help you go find help. So check me out at Ryan Hodge on Facebook, and maybe you'll come across that series. If you're on Instagram, it's on Ryan Hodge Books at Instagram. And then if you're on Twitter, same thing, Ryan Hodge Books. They're up there, so just check them out. But either way, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a guest on the show, like I mentioned in the intro. And we're going to just talk some more about mental illness, mental health, what things we can look out for, what we can do to foster mental health, and just chop it up and see if we can get people in a better place. It's what we do here at Level Up with Ryan Hodge. So stay tuned. Come back to us in a second, and we're going to do it again. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, what's up, good people? We back from the break. It's me, Ryan Hodge, still here, still holding it down. Like I said in the intro, we got a guest on the show. We've had him on the show before. It's Dr. John McMillan. He's here, and we're going to talk more about this mental health, social health stuff. So, Dr. Mac, if you don't mind, shout the people out.
Hey, what's going on, people? It's good to be back on the platform. It's good to be back talking to you guys. And just thank you, Brother Hodge, for having me back.
All right, that's what it is, man. So before you came on the air, man, I tipped everybody off about what we're going to be talking about. And I said mental health, and I gave a definition of mental health, what it is. Then also, you know, tied to mental health, of course, to social health, they kind of run neck and neck. So what's your definition or, you know, the aim of social health? What is social health?
When you talk about social health, it definitely encapsulates mental health. But it's just that outlook of holistically, how can I be healthy, whether it's physical, mental health, as we talked about earlier, whether it be economic health, socioeconomic health. So it kind of encapsulates everything just to create that holistic, healthy person. So it's all tied in, mental health, social health. They walk hand in hand.
Gotcha. So what are we going to focus on? Are we focusing on women, black, male? Where are we going with this today? What you want to talk about?
Well, I'm definitely looking at speaking from a standpoint of the black community and the cornerstone of the black community as far as I'm concerned. It's arguable, of course. But just looking at the young African-American male and what I see just on my day-to-day work schedule, what I'm encountering working with young African-American males and just looking at what they're going through and just seeing if we can provide some strategies that can help the people who are listening, that can help your listeners at least start the conversation.
Right.
You know, not so much from a clinical standpoint, but just from what I'm observing day to day working with young people.
Right.
And young African-American males.
Well, that sounds about right with what we do on the show. We often talk on the show about just practical advice for people. You don't have to be a doctor or a rocket scientist to implement some of this stuff. We're just doing this day by day, trying to come up with anything that makes sense, that's going to help us be better people, our family be better people, and, you know, just all overall thrive. So we appreciate you. So let's just start the conversation, man. You said things that you see. What is something you see in the work that you do that's a problem?
Primarily, I made a list of things, short list, but when I look at the African-American youth, African-American male youth, I'm seeing that lack of academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that inability to resolve conflict without violence.
Right.
I'm seeing the difficulty with authority figures. I'm seeing that extreme commitment to peers. Just extreme to where these young fellas are willing to do anything for the homie.
Right.
I'm seeing that lack of understanding of the power of education and just seeing that lack of expression, how to express what's going on in your psyche, in your mind, in your life. So just seeing those things and seeing what they lead to is really alarming to me, and it's just cause for some concern. And that's not to say everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say all of the African-American youth, but a lot of the ones who are at risk.
Gotcha. So my question is, then, do you want to tackle them all together? Or do you want to isolate some of those problems that you see and then strategize each one individually?
We can take it step by step, and of course that's going to lead off into different things, but hey, let's just go.
All right, so let's do what we do here, man. So again, we're going to say social health. Like you said, we're talking about economics. We're talking about people, how they move in their day-to-day, how you handle conflict, what it means to you to be in conflict. Anything like that just can help us be better. So we're going to start there. So, okay, you said a willingness of the black youth to do anything for their homie. Now, how do you find that to be detrimental?
That's a good point, man. I find that to be detrimental, especially for that at-risk youth, is that they have that connection to do anything for their peers.
Mm-hmm.
Along the lines of that no-snitch policy that they have.
Right.
When you look at that in connection with gang life and students who have this commitment to the gang and they're willing to do anything, put in any kind of work just to satisfy their peers who generally don't know as much as they may know.
Right.
I see that.
It's funny you mentioned the no snitch culture, because actually a show of mine that aired probably was last week. Last week, I had a guest on the show and we were talking about how the hood has the no snitch policy. And we talked about how it's bringing our communities down. Well, we don't really have communities these days, but our neighborhoods down, the places where we live most often. And we said that the no snitch policy is pulling us down because it's allowing people to terrorize the places we live with no consequence. Even if we know who committed these atrocities, we still don't say anything because of this no snitch culture. So it's like almost like we're protecting people who are harming us the most. So I agree, that's definitely a problem. And especially if they're going to keep perpetuating the problem generation after generation. So what do we do to get around it?
You know, I think it just falls into creating better role models for these young men to follow.
Mm.
You know, it's nothing wrong with caring for your peers. There's nothing wrong with supporting your peers. But you have to seek that understanding from a higher standpoint. So just being better role models. I'm big on mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to have these type of structures in place to help young men make good decisions.
Right.
Also, from a family standpoint, just encouraging young men to express themselves. That's something I see as well. Young brothers who don't know how to express what's on their hearts, what's on their minds.
Right.
Almost as if you're not hard if you are going through emotional distress. And it's very difficult to get young brothers to open up about what's going on. And even when they do open up, it comes off in phrases like whatever, whatever,
mm-hmm.
This, that, the third. Now, what are you saying? What's right. going on with you so that we can clearly address it and allow you to articulate that? Do you even know what is bothering you?
Yeah.
Can you articulate that?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's definitely a strategy that can be employed as well. It's just teaching students how to express themselves. When you ask a young man, how was your day? And he says, it was good. Well, what made it good?
Yeah, what was good about it? Right.
You know, just diving deeper into that conversation and just creating a young man that knows how to articulate himself. Because that's something that's a skill that can carry you a long way. That's going to be with you forever, whether you're conversing on the job, whether you're talking to your wife, whether you're having conversations with your kids. Communication is the key.
Right. So just to tack on to that, what I see, which is definitely a problem, exactly that is a problem. So the problem I have with it is that a lot of these young gentlemen, they possess an inability to articulate themselves because they don't have the verbal skills to do it.
Mm.
Everything they communicate in is so short and choppy. They don't really have a large lexicon. They don't have a lot of words in that bank. So with that being said, so when you ask them certain questions, you normally get an answer that's really indicative of their skills. And that's a hindrance. So piece of it, the social health ties back to education, as we already know. But some of it is they just don't have the ability to say what's on their mind. And then I think from what I've experienced, then they get frustrated when they can't express what's on their minds, and then they act out from it.
That's a good point. I mean, I think you lined that up beautifully, you know, especially when it comes to expressing what's going on in your world.
Right.
And to kind of tack on with what you said about social health and even mental health from that standpoint, when you can't express yourself verbally, I think that's why a lot of these young brothers are expressing themselves physically.
Right.
Violently.
Yes.
In other words, I'm going to communicate with you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't do it verbally, then I'm going to lay these hands on you.
Right.
Or I'm going to shoot you. You know, and it's kind of, you know, to kind of piggyback on it more, I think a lot of the atrocities that we see are just because two young brothers didn't have the opportunity to talk.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't talk it out, or that young man didn't understand that I'm pulling the trigger on this gun because I was violated in the past, and I don't want anybody to disrespect me. I haven't dealt with that.
Right.
I hadn't dealt with that. No one helped me bring that to light and help me understand that I'm acting out violently because I was harmed. I was in an abusive home, or, you know, I was traumatized in some shape, form, or fashion.
Right.
And that's why I'm so aggressive. You know, so that's powerful, man.
Yeah. I see a lot of, again, and it's tied into the same sort of concept. I see a lot of students who feel disrespected, but really weren't disrespected. They can't even process what happened enough to realize that that wasn't disrespect. It was just me telling you how I felt. But since I don't know how to tell you how I felt in a calm fashion, I'm using curse words. I'm using animated hand gestures that now makes you feel threatened. And then now you feel the need to act the same way because that's the way you act as well. And then now here goes the physical confrontation. So it's definitely a problem. And I'm going to start right there with just the education piece. I think starts the beginning of us being able to come off of this violence and just understanding one another. And if we don't understand one another, like you're talking about, be able to understand one another through verbal linguistics, just talk and come to an understanding and come to an understanding that we could just agree to leave each other alone, which ties into conflict resolution.
Exactly. And that's something that I see as a definite struggle in dealing, you know, with that young African-American male. It's just that conflict resolution piece that we have put in the psyche to kind of tie it in with that mental health and social piece that we tied into the psyche of young brothers that you aren't hard unless you can execute violence or aggression on someone. A person who uses his mind is not seen as a leader, as someone who is strong. These young brothers only see strength in regards to aggression, especially at-risk young brothers.
Definitely.
Only see aggression as a means to resolve conflict. And in our homes, we have to teach better. You know, we have to teach better and help young brothers understand that there may be times when you have to exact violence, but it shouldn't be the first recourse.
Right.
You know, there can be other steps involved as far as bringing a resolution. Like you just said, we can simply agree to just leave one another
alone. Absolutely.
I don't like the way you're treating me.
Right.
That sounds kind of soft, but, you know, no, I don't like the way you're treating me. And because of that, hey, I think it's best that we part ways.
Yep.
And we can do it like that.
Yeah, if we can agree to disagree, if we can agree to meet up and fight, we can agree to walk away from one another. If we can come to some sort of agreement to meet up to commit violence against one another, we definitely should be able to do the opposite and agree to say, listen, I'll never say your name again, you never say mine again, and we'll just leave it at that.
And we'll keep it moving.
And I want to touch back on something you said. What you said was a great point about being hard in the neighborhood. I said a while ago, the most respected cat in the neighborhood a while back, or even just generations back, was the elder. Remember when the elder was the guy who, or the woman who, Big Ma, or whatever you want to call it, was, everybody knew not to disrespect that person. There were serious consequences for it. And that's not the case anymore. Now, the most respected person in these neighborhoods, the bad neighborhoods especially, the most respected person is the one who's willing to cause the most terror in the neighborhood. They used to call them hard rocks back in the day. And a hard rock was a person back in the day who would beat up everybody. They could beat up everybody, and then if it had to get real ugly, they'll pull out the gun and do what they needed to do there. But the problem is the most respected person is not the 70-year-old guy who's been committed to his community for forever. Nah, he's nobody. They'll beat him up and rob him. So we need to get back to just even from a social standpoint, recognizing who means us well and who doesn't, and understand that that guy putting in community service hours in the neighborhood and helping people out, he's to be respected. And the other cat who's causing harm, moving drugs and stuff in the neighborhood, that's the person who we should be snitching on or getting out of our communities, because it's only going to tear us down and keep our communities low as they are now.
Exactly. And, you know, just understanding the paradigm of what a safe place is, what a safe community is, and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
When you come from the standpoint of the contributions that the music makes to detriment.
Right.
You know, when you look at what music says, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, the music is always talking about the hood, staying loyal to the hood, but most of these artists are not living in the hood that they're glorifying.
That's right.
You know, they're perpetuating this idea of life that they aren't even partaking in, some of them, and when they do partake in it, they have a tendency to get murdered. When
right.
they try to re-partake into what they're perpetuating, you look at the number of hip-hop artists who have just been assassinated by going home.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. So, you know, just helping young people and young brothers understand that that's real, but that is fictionalized as far as success is concerned. That if
that's
you
right.
try to carry your way, the way you see these artists perpetuating how they carry their way, because they don't live like that.
That's right.
It's going to lead to your detriment. So that kind of, that music component kind of ties into the social destruction, that mental deterioration of, you know, young black men.
Definite. Well, listen, I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to take a quick break, man, and we're going to talk some more about the music piece when we come back. So everybody, you know, stay tuned. We're going to take this break, and we'll be back in a minute. We got Dr. John McMillan on the show, and this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, good people, we're back from the break. You know what it is. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We still got Dr. John McMillan on the show. And before the break, we were talking about how music plays a part in mental health, social illness, whatever you want to call it. But so that's what we're on. So, Doc, keep talking, man. You were talking about music and how it affects the youth. So let's just keep going with it, man.
I appreciate that, man. It's the opportunity to really bring in the role that music plays in perpetuating some of the ideas that's holding young brothers back. And, you know, when we decided to have this conversation, I started thinking about music and what song kind of really encapsulates what we're talking about. And it drew me to a Tupac song.
Mm-hmm.
On his Me Against the World CD. And the name of the song is called It Ain't Easy. And I'm just going to read some of the lyrics for you. And we're going to see how it ties in. You're going to pick up on it quickly. But it starts off saying, I take a shot of Hennessy. Now I'm strong enough to face the madness. A nickel bag full of cess weed laced with hash. Phone calls from my brothers on the other side. Two childhood friends just died. I couldn't cry. A dang shame. And when will we ever change? And what remains from a 12-gauge to the brain? Arguments with my boo is true. I spend more time with my brothers than I do with you. And when I thought about that song, it kind of encapsulates what that at-risk young African American male, young black male is dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young man who is young, going through things, hanging out with his buddies, got this commitment to his buddy,
right?
Going through some very serious issues, but he can't cry about it. Two childhood friends just died. I couldn't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Can't cry about it. It's okay to cry.
Right.
It's okay to experience pain, but I couldn't cry about it. And so instead of talking about it, I self-medicate.
Right.
You know, I take a shot of Hennessy. I got a nickel bag full of weed. So you just see that perpetuation of the struggle that the young black male is going through and how he chooses the wrong ways to deal with it, as opposed to saying, hey, there's some other ways to deal with this that's going to benefit you in the future. So when you talk about music, that came to my head.
Right. Yeah, man. And I'm just thinking about the same way that song listed, you know, taking some alcohol, taking some drugs to cope with the trauma that you've experienced or maybe currently experiencing, is the same way this music could actually steer people in the right direction. Imagine songs saying, you know, it's a right to cry, it's a right to feel pain, but in an eloquent, creative way, steer young people to seek mental health counseling, talking to other people and finding ways other than shooting somebody to express their emotions. Imagine the power in that.
There's great power in that. And that's exactly, you know, where I was trending with that conversation.
Right.
Imagine if the music got on board. And I'm a big hip-hop fan, so, you know, I understand the pros and cons of it. But just imagine if the music gave a permit to counseling, gave a permit to deal with pain in a positive way, to gave a permit to seek help from your adult mentors.
That's right.
Imagine how powerful that could be. So, you know, the music definitely has to show the other side. If you're going to show the gangster side, if you're going to show the street side, that there's a home side that needs to be expressed so that a young troubled mind can see that as an option as well.
Right. And what you said, like you said a minute ago in the last segment before the break, a lot of these cats are not living the life that they're portraying in these songs. So they're really selling us a dream, or at least our youth a dream, or a nightmare, I should say, really. They're really selling a nightmare, and the youth are buying into it and perpetuating this nightmare that's their reality.
That's it. I mean, you said that perfectly. And as we said before the break, when those artists try to go back and live out a lot of that stuff, it's at their detriment.
Right.
You look at what transpired with Young Dolph who's one of the latest. Or gosh, who else? Nipsey
Hussle. Hussle, yeah.
Yeah, when these guys go back and try to perpetuate some of the things that they put in their lyrics, they pay a very valuable price for that. And that needs to be acknowledged. You know, we have to acknowledge that things have to change in regard to what we're feeding young, aspiring minds.
Yeah.
Because just growing up is difficult.
Growing up
as a young African-American male is difficult enough. So when you add all of these different factors of alcohol, drugs, you know, inappropriate, risky behaviors, it just compounds the problem.
Right. And to touch back on what you said about, you know, the songs giving people a permit to go seek counseling and handling things appropriately, man. Since there's a lack of it, maybe last year before the pandemic hit, I actually mentioned it in the intro. I did a mental health series. It was obviously a fake series, but what it did was it just highlighted. It was a guy named Jonathan. He was from the hood, and he was going through some things. And he had a daughter, and he found himself acting out violently, like yelling at his daughter, real snapping on us, that sort of thing. So anyway, in the series, his girlfriend influenced him to go seek counseling. And, you know, he had some struggles at first. But then as my series went on, he eventually kind of came to terms with his problems and kept seeking counseling, ended up using these strategies to be less angry, more articulate. And before you know it, at the end of the series, I had to end in a happy note. He ended up getting a job. His drama situations, you know, they pretty much left his life. So these are the things that we need to start putting in the air, because if our youth are only seeing guns in these videos, drugs in these videos, you know, fast cars, people living recklessly, pulling licks, then of course they're going to think that that's the real thing to do. That's their reality, and they're going to keep doing it.
And that's it. And I like what you just said about strategies, man. You know, we've got to start giving the young, at-risk, African-American, black male strategies to life on a regular basis.
Right.
A multitude of strategies to help them day-to-day, and that just comes through communication.
Right.
Communicate. Here are some things you can do to help you out of a jam. Here are some things you can do when someone's trying to start a physical conflict with you. Here are some things you can do when you're trying to improve your grade. Here are some things you can do when you're trying to have a better social standing just in life.
Right.
So we just got to start really providing some strategies and things that, that young people can take hold to make themselves better, not just leaving it up to the devices and social media, Facebook, Instagram, to raise these young brothers.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about those devices and stuff like that in a minute. But before we take a break, man, I want to talk just the last few words about music, since that's what we're on especially. Man, I'm thinking about music, and we know how music influences moods. For example, let's just say it's Valentine's Day, it's your anniversary or whatever, and you and your lady, wife, girlfriend, whatever it may be, you guys are having a nice candlelit dinner at the house. What kind of music are you playing?
You're playing romantic.
Right.
To set that mood that you're trying to create as far as Valentine's.
Exactly. So we know that we're going to take it old school. We're going to say Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's what's on. We could take it new school or the new, you know, Vivian Greens and her and, you know, whoever, Rihanna, whoever be saying. But we know music influences a mood. Now, on the flip, if you would never play, let's say, heavy metal. You're trying to set a romantic mood. You would never play heavy metal music.
You're not doing that.
Because that's not commensurate with a soft romantic mood. So again, with this music piece, you got the music talking about shooting them up, doing drugs. Those songs affect mood. They affect thought processes. They affect emotions. And some of these songs, depending on how graphic they are, they're having you relive trauma and grief.
Wow.
Will further affect your mood. Now you're in a negative mood all the time because the music that you listen to is a constant reminder of the trauma you've been through. So you've lived the trauma.
As a young mind, you don't even know it.
Exactly.
As a young mind, you don't even know the impact that that has on your psyche, on your mental health, on your mental outlook, on your self-concept.
Exactly.
You don't even know that that's affecting you that way.
Right. Because that music, those beats, those words, those rhythms, you know, our brain is filled with synapses, of course, wavelengths, all of that good stuff. And we know how important it is for music, because that's one thing that people gravitate to more than anything. Music, it's constantly around us. And for some reason, it's still allowed for these negative images through sound to keep being, I guess, impregnating our brains with this nonsense, or at least our youth. I mean, we dodged the bullet, but now these cats now, and they're buying into it. So again, that music piece is real important. I'm glad you touched on it, man, because it's really harmful to the youth, especially when your mind is, I guess, becoming firm. You're getting more thought processes, synapses, and all of these things are just filling your mind with those negative synapses, negative thoughts. You become numb to it. Now pulling the trigger might be like fantasy. Because you've lived a fantasy so many times in a song that you're really numb to the fact that you're really pulling the trigger in real life.
And that's a good point, because the song doesn't go on to talk about what happens after that trigger's pulled and that body is expired.
Right.
There's another level to it. Absolutely. The song's only a few minutes long.
That's right.
But if there's another level to it, when these kids act, especially these young brothers, when they act impulsively, not thinking that, okay, you beat this kid up, but it doesn't stop there.
That's right.
There's a justice process mm-hmm. that the song didn't talk about.
That's right.
So the song talks about moving them packs and laying down anybody who get in your way, but they don't talk about the fact that now you're on the run.
Right.
Now your whole life has been altered from that one decision that you made, and the song didn't document that aspect.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah. Right. So before we go, so one more time, everybody, people, listen. You know, you see a little kid listening to some of these songs that we're talking about that's promoting violence, misogyny, all that other crazy stuff. Listen, music, there used to be a grown-up music, kid music. So all I'm going at with this before we go to break is one of the ways we can help the youth is monitor the music that they listen to. Do it. Do your best. You shouldn't listen to adult music with your kids, and you should be able to somehow or another at least curtail the things that they listen to, because that's what's affecting them a lot in their day-to-day movement throughout the school system, the streets, wherever they're at. So, again, monitor the music is one piece that we're going to say that's going to help us get through. Anything before we go to break, Doc?
No, I think you nailed it. You sealed that up perfect.
All right, so everybody, once again, you know what it is. We'll be back in a second. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, good people. Once again, it's on. We're back. We're back live. We're talking. We still got Dr. John McMillan on the show. Before we went to break, we were talking about how music influences mood in today's youth and youth from former years as well. But we're going to slide from that. And while we were talking, Dr. John McMillan mentioned devices. And I'm speaking of devices like phones, tablets, those sort of things. And I wanted to just save that to this segment and just talk about what those devices, how they play a role in what's going on out here. I'm gonna use the devices from a sleep standpoint. Well, first of all, so you got a kid, you know, kids need a certain number of hours of sleep. They need a certain pattern as well. You know, you don't want to just be stealing hours of sleep sporadically. You know, you want to have almost like a sleep routine in a sense. That'll help you sleep more deeply and all that good stuff, more recuperatively, more restoratively. So with that being said, we know students are coming to school. Let's say they have to be to school at 8 o'clock in the morning. What we know is a lot of those students that tell you they just went to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. Doc, I don't know if you can attest to that, but I certainly can.
I can. I see it all the time.
Right. So we see that all the time. So, and then when you ask the student or students, well, you know, what were you doing up all night? What was going on? Was there trauma in the house? Was there a lot of noise and arguing? And a lot of them tell you, nah, there wasn't anything going on. I was just on my phone all night. I was on social media all night. I was on my video game all night. And then they come to school with an inability to perform up to the standards that they need to be successful in the classroom. So, you know, the piece of advice to that is parents, you know, you gotta take those phones. You got to take those devices because they're harming your student, your child, more than you may know. Can you speak to that, Doc?
I definitely can, man. And like you said, from a sleep standpoint, you know, I was reading some article, and it's been a while ago, but it said that the light that comes from the cell phone and even the TV simulates the light of sunshine.
Right.
It's almost like your eyes will be tricked into thinking that it's like morning and you should be waking up.
Right.
When you're looking at that cell phone all night, which is why a lot of these kids can't go to sleep. But also, I remember a time when I grew up, the only friends you had were the friends in the neighborhood.
That's right.
The only friends that could influence you were the friends at your neighborhood or your grandmother's house when you went over there, just to the various neighborhoods you visited.
That's right.
But now these young people, because of these devices, social media, they're influenced by people all across the world because we're all striving to get those likes.
That's right.
We're all striving to get that positive reinforcement from people who don't even know us, and definitely a lot of whom don't even care about us.
Right.
And we invest. I see young people investing a lot of time pursuing that aspect of their lives to their detriment. Also being just exposed to negative stuff, the amount of content
right.
that these young brothers and just to being exposed to is just limitless. So when your child's behind that door with the lights off and you're asleep and unaware of what's going on, they're in a whole dark web that you know nothing about being influenced by everybody and everything. So, you know, that's important.
Right. So again, so just from a sleep standpoint, if you're thinking about, yeah, this is common sense. Like I said, everybody, you know, this show is just practical advice for the everyday man. If you don't get enough sleep one night, this is for you, Doc, just simple question. If you don't get enough sleep in a night, let's say two nights, you had a rough patch, how are you feeling throughout the day?
You're dragging at some point. You know, you're dragging. You're not as sharp. And you know, just that dragging aspect of I don't have full energy.
Right.
And it just impacts your performance.
Right. So you're going to underperform. And if you're a student, obviously that's adversarial to being a good student. You don't want to underperform as a student. Chances are you're going to sleep in class. Then when you get home at 4 o'clock, let's just say, you're likely to crash. Which means that you've done no remediation, no extra studying, anything. You're going to crash until, let's just say, 9, 10 o'clock. You've been asleep all day in class and at home. And then here goes another night of you being up all night, back on social media, playing video games. And some of these video games reinforce the same negative message that the music does. So here goes that constant bombardment with these negative thoughts that is going to influence your mental and impact you socially. These videos showing, again, misogyny. So all of these things tie into that social health aspect that we're talking about. So it's not just as simple as, well, you know, go to sleep. Now take, they don't even need TVs. I'm sorry, they don't even need TVs in the room because if you tell them to turn the TV off, as soon as they think you're asleep, they're going to turn the TV back on.
And these minds are already young and impressionable.
Absolutely. And then going from there, all of these these sleepless nights, they all lend themselves to all sorts of sleep disorders from there. And then from sleep disorders, right. We know those tie into mental health illness because now if you have a sleep disorder, your day-to-day is going to lead to depression potentially. And before you know it, now you're on the suicide watch. Now somebody's saying something to you that normally you would have brushed off your shoulder. And if you couple this with the music, lack of sleep, poor diet, now all of a sudden you're pulling out a gun and shooting somebody.
And that's it. And another thing I want to capitalize on while we're talking about cell phone, social media, you know, being an administrator, all of the problems as far as student conflict, students being hurt on campus, generally root back to something someone said on social media.
Right. It's been like that for a long time. And guess what? And I'm going to cut myself off on purpose just to get this point. And what time was this beef? So it's a person who was not even in the same house with you, not the same neighborhood, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, somehow or another is when the beef started. Now, in our day, you know, obviously there was no social media. Somebody couldn't influence you like that. But now it's a 24-hour constant bombardment of negative influences. So that's why it's so important for parents to, if your student has a device, your child has a device, take them all out the room. Give it back to them when they need it, because they don't need that device at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Try to limit outside influence as much as possible. Try to mitigate and control that yourself, because as a parent, you're the wiser one, and you have to be able to trust yourself and trust the strategies and methods you use to control your household. So it's extremely important to regulate social media, to regulate these devices, to make sure that your children are being influenced in the proper way.
I couldn't agree more. I definitely can't. We definitely need to make sure that these images, these messages that are coming to our kids need to be more positive. We got a constant bombardment of positive messages, even real messages, because they need to know what's going on out here. But it definitely can't be constant negativity, naked women, naked men, men holding guns, and all that other crazy stuff. But listen, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to spit some more in a minute, y'all. So hold up. We'll be back. Just Level Up with Ryan Hodge. All right, once again, it's on. We back, yo. Hope you still here. We still got Dr. John McMillan on the show, and we still politicking. It's almost time for us to get out of here. So, again, the topic of the show today is mental health, social health. So, Doc, before you go, man, I mean, close us out with some last thoughts, if you got any for us.
I do. You know, when we decided to do this, man, and you invited me to come back to the show a second time, I just came back in the vein of, if we don't start as the elders, start guiding our own community, guiding our own homes, guiding our own youth, if we don't invest in our young people, who's going to do it? You know, who's going to do it? We can't count on society. We can't count on other races to invest in us before we're willing to invest in ourselves. And that's just how I want to close out on my end. And that's the whole drive behind this work that we're doing, just trying to empower people, give people some practical strategies to engage the social health and the mental health and just the social standing of our young people, specifically our African American males. And that's all I have to say on it.
All right, and I'm gonna touch on that real quick too, man. So just to go along what we're saying, we're talking about our social health here, man. And I want to go from the diet standpoint. You know, there used to be a thing. They used to say fish was brain food. Now, I don't know if fish is brain food or not, but all I know is I'm just using that to say that we need to be healthy, exercise, get good rest, learn a skill, do things that make you feel better about yourself. And you know what? Chances are you're going to land right. But, you know, take time for yourself, for your mental health, your social health. Take time out the day to do things that you like to do. And if we're talking about from the kid's standpoint, like I said, surround those kids with positive influences, music, role models, school trips, programs, whatever it may be, but positivity and things that enrich them, not take from their lives. And that's what I got to say on the social health piece. So, Doc, we appreciate your time as always, man, and we'll do it again in a soon, quick moment, hopefully. All right, then. Next time. All right, everybody. You know that music indicates it's almost time for me to get out of here. We're going to thank Dr. John McMillan for being on the show. You know, he held us down, dropped some good info on us. You know what I'm saying? So we appreciate him for that. Also, we got to thank Hindsight Media Radio for putting us on. We appreciate it. And, you know, like always, I say, visit RyanHodgeBooks.com to check out some of my novels. You know what I mean? Check out my social media. Might see some stuff up there that's going to work for you. Either way, though, until next time, everybody, be great, be tight, and handle your biz, yo. This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Later.